The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, The Weekend Podcast. I'm joined by Spreadsheet Pete and Naive Steve. You all right, boys?
Yes, good day to you, sir.
Hello there.
What a horrible week it's been, isn't it? Really dreadful.
Yeah, depressing really, isn't it?
No. Well, sometimes it can get... Yeah, it is. That's the thing, you know, it can get emotional, the markets, you know, it can get emotional. And, I mean, if you're emotional, you imagine how Theresa May is feeling. God, fair play.
It could be worse.
I know, could be worse. Yeah, you could be Theresa May. Just think of that all the time, right? Because that, do you know what, I just got a text from Paintball. No, I'm not. They've offered a deal saying, do some more paintball. It's a cheap week. I'm not going to do any more paintball ever again.
Did you put your real email address down on the sign-in form, did you?
Well, a text message. I don't know why that is.
They found out your phone number. Wow.
Yeah. I mean, the sad thing is, right, with this Brexit thing,
I
genuinely think Theresa May was trying to do the best. But it's not what people wanted, is it? You know?
Well, the thing is, speaking of someone who voted to leave, i.e. you, is this what you voted for? Is that deal, that type of deal, what you voted for?
Well, no, I think the bargain, from the start, they should have gone in, so we're leaving, full stop, it's hard Brexit. We should have, from the start, I mean, meant it. You can't...
Yes, but you weren't voting for what type of Brexit was going to be. You were just voting for Brexit blindly. Whereas me and Steve were like, just stay as we are.
No, Pete, he was voting for $36 billion to go back in the NHS. That's what he voted for.
$300 million.
That was $300 million.
$250 million a week. That was that's going back in now.
Yeah.
But the thing is, people say they want Brexit, and she's tied us into this deal where there's this backstop arrangement. If it happens, the EU are in charge of it. So they're still in charge of us. If it happens, do you know what? I know she probably thought this is, you know, it's more a smoother transition for business, this kind of thing, but it's not a clean break. It's not what people wanted. So even though it's like saying to someone, you know, are you going to the bar? Yeah, I am. What do you want? Oh, give me a cider. Okay. If they haven't got cider, get me anything. They come back and they say, oh, they haven't got cider, so I give you a bag of crisps. So, you know, it's like it's when I mean anything, I mean alcohol related, I wanted, not something completely different, you know?
So you've gone. Yeah. The thing that gets me is that, you know, it's Theresa May's Brexit. And you're like, I kind of hadn't thought about back in the day when we were voting or whatever, that it would just come down to one person kind of, yeah, this is how we'll do it for the country and for the future. It sort of seems to be, I know she has advisors and she has another team around her, but it's kind of, she's leading it. And, you know, at the time, it was obviously Cameron's government and, well, you wouldn't think it would get to this.
I also think that, like, why have we got someone leading us who is a Remainer? You kind of need someone who actually wants to leave kind of running it, really, because at least they've got more of an idea of what the Leavers wanted rather than someone...
I don't know how anyone could get an agreement that's going to work with the EU.
You can't. If the EU involves, apparently, I'm seeing a lot more sentiment now getting changed towards, you know, in her favour. Theresa May, I've just said, I think, you know, if the EU are involved in this, it's probably the best deal you're going to get. But, you know, to get a real good deal, you've got to be prepared to walk away, full stop. Because they don't want a hard Brexit. It's going to be hard on them, hard on us. And, you know, it's going to... And we're already suffering anyway, our economy. So, listen, we've got a decent economy. We are the big... It's like, say, we are like 19... Do you hear that stat? 19 of the smallest EU countries leaving in one go. That's what it's like Britain doing. So, I mean, that is not... They don't want that. And you've got Italy as well, which is a massive problem with debt, and they can't... The EU is a sinking ship. We are better off out. I know this is pain, short-term pain, but we are better off out, full stop, I think. I'm just thinking, what is she doing now? All these people are coming to vote. In fact, by the time this podcast goes out, she'll probably be out. But I want to say, what is Theresa doing right now? Because everyone's getting these letters together of no confidence. They need 48, right? Is she on the phone back to Jean-Claude saying, Jean-Claude, that deal we did, any chance they're not happy with it? They're not any chance we can easily make it a bit better? And he's there saying, well, I've sent it out now to the 27 states.
You haven't sent it, have you?
Is it on email or hard copy? I've both, really. I've emailed, but they're going to get hard copy. Okay, can you not send out the hard copy? Is there any chance we can work something? No, sorry, okay. And she's knackered, isn't she? What can she do? Yeah.
But I don't think it's going to get through Parliament.
It's not, definitely not going to go for Parliament, is
so
it?
So I don't see where we're going to end up. It's all a bit...
It's going to be... You know it's going to end up a no deal situation.
Hard! Hard! It's going to be a hard Brexit, yeah? Hard!
But that's not
What's
good,
the point going in soft? Hard, you need. If you're going to have anything, hard or soft, hard is better than anything, is it? Hard or soft? You know, hard. I said to my kids when I'm brushing their teeth, they're not messing around, I grab them hard. I said, right, easy or soft, what about you? And they laugh. They think it's funny. They're like, and they say, hard. And I grab my hard, really, you know, get their head in my arm and really brush it hard. And they go, no, soft. And so, you know. But it's a threat of hard. Okay. It's a threat of hard that makes him want it soft, you know? So, yeah.
Right. That was one of your weirder analogies. Where's it going to end up? I'm not sure.
But well, anyway, it'll end up on WT rules, and then they'll have to give us a decent deal. I say, do you want WT? Because whatever you do to us, we can do back to you. Yeah. You need our trade as much as we need your trade. So you're stabbing yourself. It's politicians. Get in the way. The problem is this protectionist bloc, you know, the thing that goes on in the EU. They make everything more expensive. Unless you're inside the bloc, let's say you're in the club, they don't want to trade with you, or they want to make it hard for you. What's the point doing that? Just let countries trade, just let businesses, doesn't matter where they're from, trade with other businesses. If you want to buy something off someone, wherever they are in the world, buy someone off. Don't the politicians get in the way? No, no, to protect this, protect our country, let's put a tariff on that. No, that's the problem. If we are like highly competitive, we can trade with anyone, and that's where we need to be, full stop. This fake sort of protectionist bloc, it's rubbish. It just ends up in tears like it is now. Anyway, you know.
Yeah.
Jean-Claude, have you sent it out yet?
Yeah.
You haven't? Oh, brilliant. Could we change a couple of things? The backstop.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't really know. The backstop, I've read about 4 or 5 times now. What is the backstop? I sort of half know, but I don't really understand it. I don't think it's an insurance policy where they can't be done in the Irish Sea, the customs. I don't know. But do you know what Steve will know? Steve?
Yeah. I can't even make anything up for that. I have no idea.
Try and mix them up. Go on, try and mix them up.
I don't even know what it's really regarding. Obviously, I don't know. No.
No. Try and mix something up. It's just good. Just what is the backstop? Go on, try.
I don't make things up. I usually logically think things around, and I've got nothing to logically think around.
Think things around. I think things around.
I logically think things around. That sentence wasn't logical. I think things around.
Yeah.
I think things through, up and down, over the top.
That the whole Irish issues, I don't see how that's ever going to be resolved so that everyone's happy.
Well, do you know what? The Northern Irish don't want a border there. The Southern Irish don't want a border there. Britain don't want a border there. And apparently the EU don't want a border there. So why have a border there? Let people drive through. It's fine. What's the problem? Irish.
But then you have an invisible border in the Irish Sea, don't you?
So
then
it was invisible. No one can see it. Don't worry. Fine. Yeah. You don't need any. Don't you know what? Well, I know we have to write rules for it. Do you know what? But when it comes down to it, day to day, so what? Just go through, mate. Fine. We've been trading like this for the last 20 years. Fine. It's fine. Don't worry about the EU.
But then that's if you're doing it there, you need to do it at Dover Calais as well, don't you? So it's all open, and then we're back in the EU then. So there we are. Oh, so you're okay with that?
No, the EU needs. We don't need to open it. They need to open up. The EU just needs to open up. That's all.
Yeah. That's the problem. You want the best of both worlds, and unfortunately, EU's not going to give it to you, are they? So, yeah.
Because they're selfish sods.
No, not really. But I have always said there's going to be some, massive bonuses for leaving, but there's also massive downside, and, are any of us better off? Probably not. There we go.
I think,
I'll tell you what, I'm not better off this week. My stocks have taken a tanking again.
Yeah. But do you know what? At the moment, I've got to say, right, listen. So we can talk about the politics of this all day long. But as investors, you've got to look at it, what it means to you as an investor, you know?
Mm.
As an investor, Steve, not a dirty trader, you know, he doesn't go in the shower, doesn't wash ever. I'm talking about a clean investor, likes to wash his armpits. You know, done the nether regions, all that stuff. A clean investor, not a filthy, dirty trader, Steve. What does it mean to you? What does this now mean to you? What do you think? Pete, what do you think it means to you?
Well, the thing is, it's about you know, being greedy when others are fearful and fearful when others are greedy. I know that, but at this time, this is unprecedented, you know, historically, isn't it? So I was thinking the other day, you know, your little motto each time is, if something drops, is, you know, has the story changed? And you kind of go, well, the individual stocks, no, the story hasn't changed, but the macro picture has kind of changed, or is changing. So whilst I think, yeah, probably this is a buying opportunity, I'm not sure it is how I feel about the whole thing.
Steve.
Well, yeah, I kind of agree. Like, we even had a little bit of a dip where we have been thinking that that is the bottom and trying to invest more into it, and then just see it going back more. And at what point do you kind of go, well, yeah, because you don't know where the bottom is, because exactly what Pete said, the stories haven't changed. It's something that's out of control, out of your control. So, yeah, what do you do?
Equally, is this all a bit of a storm in a teacup? One way or the other, Brexit will happen, and then the life goes on and things will start to recover, and, you know, talk to me in 6 months' time and we'll actually be back up where we were 2 months ago, kind of thing. Don't know. What do you think?
There's a little part in the back of your head that's kind of thinking, is it actually going to recover? I don't know.
Is that a spare part, or is it?
Yeah. You haven't got...
And if you don't know where the bottom is, it's in your pants. But listen... Yeah.
Justin, what do you think? How does it affect you?
First and foremost, I don't know what the outcome is, but this creates more uncertainty, all right? So the markets don't like uncertainty. So if it's going to be uncertain, if you don't know what to do, right, what's the safest thing you can do? That's what I think. And that's why on any rallies, when I've been selling down. I've been selling down like crazy. I'm now at 50% cash, or 49.5% cash.
Which rallies have you been seeing recently?
No, any. I don't care if I'm in loss on a stock. If it's rallying, I'm selling. I'm exiting positions that I'm literally have now, you know, 1-2% in certain stocks that I think even if we're going to go into recession, you know, it can't get a lot cheaper. And I think there's milestones before that will happen anyway that will take him up. So I'm very cautious. And someone said to me, in fact, mentioned Totally, which I sold. They said that liability they had is like a free loan. You know, if the business is improving, I said yes. But what I want to see is improvement. That's what I want to see now, because in this environment, you can afford to be cautious, you can afford to take your time, you can afford to be patient, because the likelihood is share prices, if this continues, will go lower. And so why buy now when you can put off that buying? And that's the problem. That's what leads to recessions. You know, people are worried that in everything, not just stocks and shares, but any investment of any size, businesses are going to put off investing decisions. So that'll lead to less expansion and less growth, and that'll slow the economy down. So I'm pulling out. I mean, I'm happy to sit on 50, 60. I'm going to keep doing it as well. Unless there's certain stocks that I think has lots of potential, then I'm pulling out slowly because this will drag on for now. The real deal, of course, apparently will happen in March. We'll have a couple of rallies, I think, towards the end of the year. Yes, it's not going to go straight down. I think it'll rally, but it'll be very volatile, and the liquidity will sort of, you know, dry up. So, yeah, I'm very cautious, and I think the safest place to be at this time is in cash. And then if I'm going to buy a stock, I'm buying a lot smaller amounts than I would do. So, you know, before I'd buy my maximum, you know, exposure to one stock with 10%, I'm doing nowhere near that now. I'm putting it like down to 5% and splitting that into three tranches. So I'm literally putting baby steps into a stock if I do buy one. And even then, if it rallies sometimes, if I think I've gone too big on it first time, I'll sell some. Because I want to play the stock market, but I mean, in this environment, I'm just not, I may be wrong. I'm just feeling like I need to be very cautious, you know.
Where you've been selling off some? Well, how big a loss are you selling at? If that makes sense.
Depends what it is. I don't care if it's liquidity in the stock. I'll just take some off.
Are you selling out completely of some stocks, or are you?
No. I have. If I see there's trouble there, these are stocks I sell out of. If I think they need any question of funding over the next 6 months, I'm out. If I get a chance to get out, I'll get out. I think they're overvalued, I'm out. If I think they're undervalued and don't need cash, I'm staying in. You know, and so. I just think that's because if everyone starts thinking this is going to drag on, and then that psychology, that mentality, that bear sort of market mentality comes in, it becomes real. You know, big people do. You know, they wanted transparency and clarity with this sort of this deal that came forward. Turns out it's not. It's now more uncertain, and so you're going to get more uncertainty, and so it just leads to a depressed market in my eyes. You get rallies in stocks, of course you will, with good news. Like today, I'm looking today, and I'm in Infrastrata, and they're up like 15%. IQAI is up like 7%. You know, and you got UOG and Europa Metals up, and you know, so yeah, but there'll be opportunities to get out. I think. Did you see that stat? I didn't. Steve, you said I was on your TV. How did that work? Steve shows a picture of his TV, and my video is on his TV. How is that? I don't understand how that works.
I think because I maybe watched one of your YouTube videos on my TV at one point. Now is recommending me to watch more of them in my.
That is a smart TV. That is a very smart TV, Steve. That is very smart. Anything that recommends my videos is super smart TV. So that video I did there, Steve, right? What did I talk about in that? Yeah, I talked about getting confirmation on everything. You can take your time, you know? I mean, rather than gambling on the outcome of something happening, wait. You can afford to wait now. You know, you don't need to gamble. Whereas a full-on bull market, you know, good news, it would just fly. In this market, it doesn't. You know, it will go up and it'll probably come back in the next couple of days because people are selling into rallies. So yeah. It's fine. Let the story really play out. And you can, you know, like I'll give you an example. I talked about Tuple. Now, I think they're growing quite well. I think they're a record October, and the CEO, Andy Hollingworth, come to the podcast. This is like a 2.5 million mark, you know, 2.6 million. They raised 2 million in cash, you know, that's net probably. They're 2.2 in gross. And they are making a loss, yes, but they are growing. And I like this system. It's agnostic, so it works on any sort of telecom system they use. And it's voice over IP as well. And they got excellent ratings. But they're going to release results at the end of this year. They're going to be loss-making, but they're in 12 months, I reckon, to 18 months, they're going to be profitable. And they said, we don't need it to raise any more cash. And if you look at the background of the guys, they're very impressive. Andy himself, he's like turned around a big department, talk, and all that stuff. And also, he suggested, because they're now getting so many customers through other carriers, that other carriers are lowering their price of acquisition, so they can get that cheaper. So their bottom line is going down, and they're getting more growth. And I was going to pile in some, you know, big-ish into them. And I've got, you know, a half-decent chunk in there, but it's not massive. But I'm thinking, no, I'm going to wait, because I don't know what's going to happen with their final results. It'll probably show they're still making a loss, but I hope to see. It's the end of year, September, so October, November, December. I'm hoping to see they're showing record results in October, November, in post-period results, this will be, of course, because there's always a little section in there saying what's happened in the last 12 months and post-period. But I hope to see that they, you know, their growth has accelerated in the last few months this year. But if people see the loss on that and don't see that post-period, you know, improvement, it may come down. So I'm happy, but I know that's an improving story. You know, that everything around it's improving. The bottom line, top line, it's all improving. And the market cap is tiny, absolutely tiny. So I'm happy to be in that, as invest in that as a business for several years to come. But I just want to make sure my timing's right. And so, you know, but I just genuinely think it's one of these things. You know, recently I've been looking at, I want to invest in businesses. I just don't want to invest too much now in, you know, I'm more cautious of pre-revenue stocks that have massive potential for pre-revenue because they have to raise money. And so Tuple's one of those that don't need to raise money. And their business is improving. That would be a decent business that I wouldn't mind being a shareholder of. And I mean, as a proper business, rather than a stock, you know, a stock you trade, you know. And that's what I'm looking at now. Is if you could be, you know, a part owner or decent sized owner in a business, what would it be, you know? And that's what I'm looking at. Businesses.
But a business like Tuple, that's not going to be affected that much by Brexit, is it? Because
Do you know what? No, it's going to be affected by Brexit. And not only that, they do a fixed rate. So on any of their stuff, if you take a 24-month contract with them, they will not change that price. And he said certain carriers will do a sneaky, they'll have it in the contract, they've got a sneaky RPI price, and they can up the businesses, and they can up their contract for 12 months, their prices. He said, that's not what you get with us. That's the amount you pay in day one is the amount you pay in 24 months. And he said, we're not the cheapest, we're not the most dearest, but it's very competitive. And so, you know, you can get cheaper, but the service is probably not as good. And he said, you got local call centres as well. We've got one in north of England, one in the south of England, so you get through someone in this country. You know, and they use BT, TalkTalk, all the good carriers. So,
You know, whatever happens with Brexit, you know, Britain is still going to continue, business is still going to continue, everyone's going to use their phone, business broadband, whatever, et cetera, et cetera. Whatever is going on out in the bigger world, the services like that are still going to be required. People are still going to use them. So you kind of go, that's an okay stock to be in.
And exactly. There are, and you, exactly, people are going to need that kind of service. Telecoms are quite defensive stocks. That's what we're going to look at now. I mean, I'm actively looking at recession signals, and there's a lot going on. I mean, if you look at that drop in oil, which is always a measure of global growth. Some people say supply, supply, but also copper's had a bit of a bashing. Dr. Copper is called an excellent, you know, signal of the barometer of the global economy. That's taken a bit of a hit. GDP, for example, in Japan and Germany contracted in that last quarter, which is a bit worrying. You think the major, you know, Japan and Germany are third and fourth biggest countries in the world, economies in the world. So you've got also flashpoints coming up. You've got the US, apparently, going to have a chat now. That Xi and Trump are going to have a chat at this G20, and there's been a letter sent back from China about the trade talks. But if that doesn't happen, if they don't resolve that problem by January, then they've got, there's a 10% tariffs on Chinese goods, certain goods, right, on $200 billion worth. That will go up to 25% tariffs on China, and China's economy is struggling at the moment. Their stock market's in a bear market. It's like, it's not good. So if you've got, you know, second biggest economy, third biggest economy, and fourth biggest economy, you know, showing signs of contractions. I mean, they do say Japan and Germany were seasonal for certain reasons, but I just think if you're in a powerful growth stage, you don't go through a recession, you know, or don't contract 1 month, you know, for one quarter. So I think the signs out there, it's going to happen. I don't know when it will. Like I said, you do get massive rallies in bear markets, so don't all run for the door. But I think any opportunity you get, if you're very cautious, I think just get out.
But what do you qualify as a rally? Like a rise of say 10% plus in a day?
I mean, I mean, if you're happy to get out, sort of, you know, too close to it. I mean, I
don't know. I'm not sure about that strategy.
I know. Well, I just think
there's a lot to be said for buying and holding.
No, there is, and I am buying and holding. But I'm up in my cash value. I want to say I'm not getting out completely. I'm up in my cash value because I'm less bullish. I'm more cautious. So the more cash in your portfolio, of course, the less volatility you have in your portfolio, because a lot of it's held in cash, it'll stay in cash. So I don't like the volatility at the moment, so I'm easing out. So that's what I'm saying.
Exposure.
Yeah, I'm reducing my exposure to equities. That's what I'm doing. I've been thinking about going into putting a chunk in, say, some kind of other thing, you know, like a tracker on dividend payers or something like that. But small caps and equities, it's my head. I'm just, at the moment, I'm bullish, and I'm not feeling. There are certain companies.
At the moment, you're bullish.
They're bearish. Yeah, there's certain companies I'm bullish on. I'm bullish on Tupelo because I mean, longer term. I'm bullish on Bidstack. You know, I just think. I've been reading. Actually, downloaded the. I copied the whole prospectus on Bidstack, and I really like what they're about. The only concern I have, like I said in the video, is they're a 13 million market cap at the moment. Ideally, I'd like them to be about 5 million. And I think they could, you know, like they could double once and get to 10 million already. But I mean, they're 40 million. But I'm looking at them, right? And first and foremost, the market is massive. Absolutely massive market. And the gaming market is huge. Like I said, it's bigger than movies, music, streaming, all together, you know? So, and yet, they do have first mover advantage. There is no one doing what they're doing. They're hooked up by the API, via programmatic ad agencies. They can put in adverts. You know, it's non-destructive, can't be blocked. They're natural. People, they don't get in the way. They're in games. They're on, you know, for example, they can be on billboards in games. And they sign exclusive contracts with publishers. And then you know, they're connected into the programmatic sort of advertising platforms that sell into that space. They're just, and
their revenue is not really going to be affected.
No, exactly. Gamers, once they've... I mean, I don't know how it works, but, you know, like Football Manager, for example...
I don't know how it works, but I've bought into it.
No, Football Manager. I mean, I don't know how... I'm not a gamer, but I don't know.
Yeah.
I think you just download it. Pay for it, obviously, I think, but it's online, on mobiles. And that's the thing. There's massive ad blockers in mobiles and all this stuff, and you can't do with this. And so... And no one else has got this. No, it's just a massive market. Of course. Why? To me, it's a no-brainer. First and foremost, right, you've got the game or the publisher. They only get revenue generally when they sell a game. Or they do another game every year. Like Football Manager now, a new one's come out. Football Manager 19 has just come out, you know. So they're only getting more revenue now, again, the year after. Sometimes there are hard-wired advertising things inside these games. But this means these campaigns can be updated dynamically. So if there's a new, you know, if for example, Nike or someone release a new trainer or anything like that, anything that'll appeal to the demographic, they can upload that within the game within, you know, hours. So I just think it's amazing. It's, you know, it's a no-brainer for everyone. You know, it works for everyone. It's an extra revenue stream for the publisher. The advertiser hits the demographics they want, and a lot of them. They are valued at 40 million. I mean, we have to see. But reading their prospectus, they've already hooked up some very big names. And so I think this could be a stock, you know, taken up by a bigger company quite easily, because they've got their foot space. They've grabbed that land grab, and no one else is there. So I really like it a lot. But
I'm not in that. But you kind of, I don't know what their share price is doing today, this week, whatever. But you kind of listen to that and you think, if I was in that, it's a case of almost ignore the share price, look at the fundamentals, look at the story in the next 12, 18, 24 months, regardless of Brexit and whatever. You know, the revenue hopefully should continue to grow and whatever, and it's a good, that's a good story, and the share price ultimately will catch back up at some point. It's like, don't worry about it at the moment. It's my kind of amateur way of looking at it. I don't know if that's right, but
I think it's right. I mean, do you know what, you're right, but I want to be, I always say this, listen, I always say get the best price you can, you know, every time. That in itself mitigates risk. If you're getting the better price, more than 90% of the other investors, you know, especially the board and all those people, you're fine. You know, they will not shaft you if you are buying stock below what they where they bought stock at.
What you're talking about today, though, especially when you're talking about selling a little rallies and things like that, that is more of a behaviour of a trader than an investor.
How dare you say that? No. What I'm saying is, what I'm saying is, fellas, what I'm saying is like you say, I'm lessening my exposure to stocks. I mean, I've on certain stocks, but I think are more risky. I'm lessening my exposure. I still hold them. I still hold, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, about 23 stocks. So I still hold them, but what I'm saying is now, I've got 50% of my money in them rather than 100% of my money in, you know? I'm a bit cautious. I just think it'll drag on. I'm being bearish, and it's good to have your opinions. But I'm being bearish, but I just think I've done quite well over the last couple of years. You know, in fact, very well. I don't want to give it back to the market when we have downturns. The whole point.
Some of that has come back.
Yes, of course it has. I can't buy the bottom, sell at the top. You know. But I'm starting to see signs here. I think we'll start to see. Listen, I think we'll have a fantastic. Oh, that's what I was going to. Sorry, missed the point. I think we'll have a fantastic rally towards year end. Did you see that stat? Since 1987, right? There's been 83% of the time, December has rallied. The FTSE 100 has rallied on average by more than 2%. And it's around about, on average, by 2.4%. That's big for the FTSE 100 companies. So, you know, the odds are in our favour that we'll have a cracking rally towards year end, we will.
I haven't been doing it that long, last couple of years, whatever, 2-3 years. I've never really seen mythical rally. Well, a little bit.
What? But, you have over the last week of December? It goes nuts.
It doesn't go nuts. But
if you look at the charts on any of your stocks, right, I guarantee you made some big gains in December. And it's one of those things that, remember, on AIM, right, you can turn around on a 2p, in a 3p, on a 10p, whatever it's called. What's the saying? It can turn around. You know, it can turn around so quickly. Like, I remember Steve said a couple of times, on the podcast, we've been so bearish. And then all of a sudden, a week later, the market's looking good, isn't it? And, you know, you can have 3 days of rally, you know.
So by that rationale, if I'd sold that week before when I was bearish, and then it's, I've got a lower holding now, a smaller holding than I had, and I wish I hadn't sold. But, yeah, I know what you're doing. I appreciate that. And I think the other thing to say is, you know, your volume of stocks is going to be greater than mine, and so it makes sense to kind of lower your exposure. But I'm looking at some of mine and go, well, there's some rallies there. Should I sell or should I just kind of hold? Because they're rallying because they're actually they potentially could be on the way up anyway. So why should I sell now?
Listen.
I don't know.
It's up to you. I mean, another time as well with the smaller cap stocks I've got. They're so illiquid. I can't sell, you know. So, I think I want to be at a size where I can sell quite easily, you know. And some of them, there's no volume.
The interesting thing is that the market has been doing what you're doing. You know, a lot of people obviously have been doing what you're doing. Hence, we are in the situation we are in. Whereas the funny thing is, if everyone just took mine and Steve's approach, we're like, well, we'll just hold on. Let's see how it goes. the market wouldn't move that much.
It wouldn't move at all. So that's the trouble, you wouldn't make any gains.
No, it wouldn't move at all.
No, you couldn't buy any stock because no one's selling.
Yeah, but no one would lose any either.
But
it doesn't work like that,
Peter. All I'm saying now, though, right, is I think at the end of the day, like I said, the only reason why I get in cash is to take advantage of opportunities as well. That, I mean, you know, I feel safer at the moment, but of course, when opportunities come along, I will sort of, you know, go bigger. But and I'm happy to see that at the moment. I want to see certain things happening on certain companies. I will go bigger, but like I said, I always think it is a market of stocks. You know, we treat it as a stock market, and literally, you know, sometimes they are, you know, tide does go out and they all sort of fall. Yeah. But with the small caps, not so much, because it is stocks. You know, it's specific stocks can still rise. You know, there's been stocks that have, you know, done so well, been 10 baggers in recessions, you know, so it does happen. And if you've got a good news flow on companies, then they will do well, especially small caps. So, you know, if they're in telecoms or if they're in gaming, which, let's be honest, what's going to prevent, you know, a bit? I went on Twitch last night just looking at Football Manager, and this guy there, they do it with on their headphones, you know, a little video on the screen, they play it, and people just watch, thousands of people just watch, you know. And I thought, what is going to stop that guy buying, updating the next version of Football Manager? Nothing. A recession's not, because he's getting thousands of people watching him who will then buy Football Manager as well to try and do the same kind of thing. And so, you know, that's gaming, pretty much like that, is recession-proof, you know? It does. It's not a luxury output every week. You buy a couple of games a year, maybe, or a few or five games a year, and that's it, isn't it? So it's like it's highly addictive as well. So, it's good. BT keeps going from, I'm watching, from riser to faller to riser to faller. It's a bit annoying, isn't it?
That surprised you. It seems as all it ever does, really.
Yeah. I tell you what I've had a little dabbling, tiny little dabbling, is Dish.
Oh, yeah.
Big Dish.
People got to eat.
Yeah, well, listen, it's an app, right?
Is it the one like Just Eat a little bit?
Well, if there's any interest from Just Eat, it's going to be phenomenal. Because Just Eat...
Well, not necessarily, because Just Eat have kind of cornered the market, really, haven't they?
Well, no, they haven't, have they?
Their share price.
No, but Steve, how have they cornered the market? Do you know how they do that?
Well, they bought at their competition, didn't they?
Exactly. Now, Dish, right, is a little app. It's valued at 7 million market cap. It's only launched recently, but it's called, what do they call it? It's called a yield management platform for restaurants. It's happened in every other sector, pretty much. You know, and this works on when you book determines the price at which you book at. You know, so if you want to book a restaurant, for example, seats on airlines or in holiday resorts or anywhere, you know, when it's busy, you get charged more. Now in restaurants, that doesn't happen. So they're starting to do this. They don't know if it could be a market. If it does, it could be massive. So literally, if you want to eat at 2 p.m., you know, rather than 1 p.m., you can get 30% off your meal. So it's a no-brainer for restaurants to, you know, come on the platform, because they would fill seats when they normally wouldn't fill seats, because they wouldn't get anyone in. Okay, they have to knock 30% off their bill. Doesn't matter. They're still earning a profit, and they got Philip people or 20%, whatever, you know. They're still earning a profit. And it costs them very little to go on the platform. And why wouldn't you check it as a user to see if you can get a good deal on a restaurant that you're going to anyway? So I think, you know, it's good potential. And I think it could get taken out, you know, by Just Eat. Just Eat, if it's asking competitive, people like Just Eat will just take them out, because that's what Just Eat do. The hungry, acquisitive, you know, company that just takes out every bit of competition it can. And I think it's at 5 million or 6 or 7 million, it's lowly valued, you know. So I quite like it. I mean, I think they've got a far east sort of version of it, but I think they may be selling that. In the last update, they said they may be selling it. So I don't know if they need to raise cash, but we're always worth checking. Always look at, you know, any pre-revenue company, you've got to look at the, obviously, size and look at the cash position of a company. But I quite like their idea, you know? I quite like their idea there, because it's a no-brainer. You would check that, wouldn't you? Just get the app. If you're you know, a regular sort of eater out, why wouldn't you just check that app to see if you can get 20%?
A regular eater out?
Yeah, a regular eater outer.
I'm ready to read her out. What?
Yeah.
Yes, I bet you do. Right. Maybe, yes.
Yes.
Yeah, no, it's quite good, I suppose. Yes.
Well, it's a good idea. It's like I said, all the future of these kind of things of ideas, it's like Dragon's Den. You know, this podcast mentioned a couple of ideas. They don't all work, you know, so that's where risk management comes in. You know, you've got to be paid to lose on certain stocks, you know. It's not investment advice, guys, it's just ideas, that's all. Other things I like, Infrastrata. Did you get into Infrastrata or not? Infra?
No.
Okay. There's still plenty of time. That's a gas storage project in Ireland, Alan McGee, and... they've had an offtake agreement, a letter of intent signed with a big blue chip client for a gas trader. And there's a problem with gas storage, you see. I mean, apparently last year, was it in the, what's it called, the Beast from the East? We were like 6 hours from blacking out because we didn't have enough power. Is that true? Yeah, apparently. Yeah, that's right. And what's compounding this now is there was a gas storage facility in Northern England called Rough, recently closed down. And that has reduced Britain's storage capacity by, is it 25 or 75% or something ridiculous? So there's no gas storage facilities in the UK pretty much now they can handle. So that's worth looking at. What's the market cap there? Up today because, 7 million market cap. C4XD, Aqualike. I mean, Europa Metals, again, scoping study, it's been sold off a little bit. But that's going to come. Scoping study is going to come sooner or later. That'll be a value creation milestone. United Oil and Gas, again. If you're ever considering descaling on any of these things, wait until milestones are hit. United Oil and Gas, again, another sort of coal drill coming up. Upland Resources, and again, it's just a...
But the things like Europa Metals, I de-risked, obviously, and it's now pulled back a bit, but it's just a case of sitting and waiting and then losing all my money. No, but hopefully it will
rise. I just think getting early, right? I still think this. I think get in early, double your money, sell half, then leave it. And that use that half to look for something else then, that you can get in early on.
But then when Brexit and all this stuff, so you're not selling any Europa Metals even though we're down, and even if it rallied, say, 5-10% in one day, I just think, I'm just going to hold for the longer term picture.
I've made money on Europa Metals, and so I sold half, and so I'm happy to sit and wait, because I just think, at what? A 5.6 million market cap company, when that scoping study will come in at, I think in excess of $150 million, NPV, and it's in Spain, it's in a decent jurisdiction, I think it's fine, But I think plenty to go there, plenty to go. Same with Jangala Mines. I mean, they've got several things happening, a joke resource coming out on their copper nickel, and that's two hot commodities. They've also got their PGM asset, which is an NPV of now, which was improved their CapEx was improved, so it reduced 32%, so now the IRR has massively gone up, and the NPV will go up on that as well, and yet they're valued at 5.5 million, and they've got cash, There's no problem there. So I'm just reducing, they're not selling out, I'm just reducing, really.
Yeah, okay. I might do a little bit of that. Let's just see how it pans out. Just one of things, come on, Teresa, sort it out. I don't know what she can do, though, really.
Yeah. We'll just have to call Juncker again, I think, or whatever. Is it Juncker, the old fella? That's it, isn't it? Jean-Claude Juncker?
Jean-Claude Juncker.
Do you see how drunk he's been twice now? He's a drinker, isn't he? On several occasions, you go online and see Jean-Claude Juncker, you can see videos of him stumbling around. Like yesterday, he walked onto the stage and he wasn't supposed to be there, and someone had to help him back off, and he just stumbled back off. Didn't have a clue what was going on. And he's a very arrogant man, so, The EU need us, I think hard Brexit, just do it, just get out of there.
But what we need are proper, decent political leaders, and we just don't have any anywhere.
This is where you needed a bit of Trump. I know Trump's got the benefit of
I'm not sure about that.
The world's biggest. No, but it's kind of negotiating. It's just hard. How it works.
What a dumb. Yeah.
You know how it works.
Ironically, I think Trump would actually be probably quite good in this situation, wouldn't he? Because he'd be so stubborn, he'd just be like, nope.
And
the EU would probably realise that and go, we better back down a little bit because he is just going to go all the way here, isn't he?
He'll probably nuke us, who knows? There we are.
I mean, and I think he would. But he has got the benefit of... being the president of the biggest economy in the world, so he can say that he can say we'll do this and do that, and it will hurt people. I mean, we are the fifth or sixth biggest economy in the world, and we're dealing with a bloc that's obviously bigger than us, but again, like I said, Germany contracted the last quarter, if they contract,
guys, guys, breaking news. My shopping's just arrived. I'm just going to answer the door. Back in a sec.
Why do you always get shopping during podcast time?
Because that's when they want to deliver it.
Well, in fact, we've finished now, haven't we? Right, really?
Okay, on that note.
Yeah, all right, lads. Okay. That's it. That's enough. I'm going to give Therese a call.
Yeah, all right, then. Good luck. Yeah.
All
right, guys.
All right, Steve, anything to say?
No, nothing to say.
Good. Who's nose? Someone's nose whistling there, and I can hear it. Got a whistly nose. Is that yours, Steve?
Could have been Pete's doorbell.
I don't think the doorbell's a whistly nose effect, is it?
He may have a whistly nose sound effect.
Why don't you just let him in, Pete? Is he still standing there? Peter?
Oh, he's gone.
How rude. Well, do you get yours delivered, Steve?
No, I enjoy shopping.
You are a bit like an old woman at that, isn't you? You enjoy going around and feeling the produce.
Oh.
Why do you enjoy it?
I don't know, just like a little wander, just picking up things I might not necessarily put on my shopping list.
Isn't that odd? Yeah, but that's the bad thing, isn't it? You're not sticking to a budget.
Yeah.
Or you live life on the edge, Steve, I suppose, do you?
Well,
oh, I'll buy some of those crumpets. I didn't think of that. Ooh, give myself a little treat.
Well, I guess if you're buying for a family, it probably could come out quite bad. But when it's just one person, it's not too... doesn't break the bank.
Do you use the scanners, though?
No. I'm going to start doing that, actually.
Steve, are you kidding? For a tech guy, I started doing this, right? It's so much better. I used to hate Asda, and one of the reasons why I realised is because it's quite busy, our Asda, is the checkouts. And I realise now, you just go in there, put the bag in your trolley, scan everything, put it in, go straight through, scan, done, it's done. None of that queuing at the checkout. It's so much easier. Even now, if I get one thing or two things, I do it. I just don't want to talk to people on the till.
I just don't do big shops, so it's... Yeah.
I don't either. I just don't want to talk to humans.
So,
you know, I prefer dealing with a robot.
I'm back.
I was just saying, Steve doesn't do his shopping like that. He just likes to go around and sample the produce and buy a couple of special treats for himself.
Oh, no, don't about that. No, don't do that.
Like, Steve just may go around and buy some, you know, big boy nappies. Like that. And
I also go shopping every day, though, as well. I buy food from a day-to-day basis.
So you'll see something he likes, like big boy nappies. And then I don't have to get up for a wee in the middle of the night. So I'll just use those.
Right, <okay.
laughs> But I was saying, Steve, Pete, do you know, in Asda now, I use that self-scan thing so much easier. And I'm thinking, why didn't they do that before? It's so much better than self-service. You just go there, it does everything. Just put your stuff. I got it wrong, first of all, Steve. What you shouldn't do, though, is put all your stuff in your basket or your trolley and then go to that thing and then realise you have to take them all out and put them in your bag, because that doesn't make any time at all. You just put them straight in your bag. And of course, you can nick a couple of stuff. Don't expensive bits, though. They know that. If you got expensive bits...
Well, how about don't nick anything?
No, you're okay, don't nick anything. But, listen, if you... sometimes they'll say, you have a beep, 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 and then have also we have to do a quality check. A quality check. No. That's what you say. That's a euphemism, isn't it? You're not doing a quality check. You're just checking to see if I've robbed anything. Yeah. I'm not...
It says here you bought three things and you've got a trolley load.
Yeah. We're just doing a quality check. Checking is the quality, you know, of your attitude. That's what, your demeanour and your honesty. That's what they're checking. We're checking the quality of your honesty, sir, of your integrity. That's what they're doing. But what they will do is they get three most expensive things in the trolley and they'll scan it, make sure you scanned it. So, Steve, if you're going to steal things... Don't steal expensive things, like, you know, a bottle of Prosecco or steak or anything that. You know, just everything else, steal. Like your big boy nappies. And then, I can't control stealing. I'd never do that. I accidentally have done that. But and I've come home with four bags of the shopping. Big boy nappies, yeah. But it's so much easier. Do it, Steve. Easier and cheaper. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge, nudge.
I've got to get a pint of milk later. I'll go and try it.
Yeah, do that. And don't scan it.
Yeah.
Just walk out. One pint. Yeah.
Right. Just walk out with a whole trolley load of food. Yeah. Right. Good.
All right, then, put your food away. What have you ordered, Pete? Anything nice?
Oh, it's a lot. It's chicken-based.
What is? Everything? Like biscuits?
Yeah, everything's chicken.
I've got chicken biscuits.
Yes, everything's chicken flavoured.
You don't have those, do you? It's a good idea, that. Maybe a chicken flavoured biscuit.
No.
Beef biscuits? Wait, what about beef biscuits? Are they all right?
Beefy biscuits.
Yeah. Savoury sweet. Fine. All right, then. Tell her, lads.
Made by meat bitties.
Tell her, then.
All right.
The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.